CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the SME Showcase section of our Business Masterclass. Last week we had Liesl van Oerkel, the Managing Director of Worldview Academy, with us, and we chatted to her about her business. This week we're joined by Ivashni Naidu of Enabled, if I've got that right, with a very focused emphasis on the ED at the end, and we'll talk about what that is, a managed enterprise and supplier development solution provider. So welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us. So without further ado, tell us, what is Enabled?
So Enabled, as you mentioned, is a company that assists businesses with their enterprise and supply development, the proper implementation of enterprise and supply development to ensure that they can meet their BE requirements. And then we've diversified our business.
So that's why the first part of our show was important, the diversification of product and service offerings.
Yeah, to include the Enabled Incubator.
Okay.
We found that although assisting businesses in enterprise and supply development was important, there just wasn't businesses that could be supported through this way, and incubation of startups was needed.
Okay, well, I'm gonna probe a number of those elements as we go through the show. So perhaps first a little bit of background on yourself and your journey in entrepreneurship. You've obviously, entrepreneurship is in your blood. I can clearly see that, and the passion is clearly visible. Tell us a little bit about you, your background, etc.
Well, I started in marketing, which was definitely not anything entrepreneurship. And then I moved into a more advertising space, and then from there moved on to enterprise and supply development. So I worked with a company that did enterprise and supply development for small businesses. And from there noticed the passion that entrepreneurs have for their businesses. And then found that that's a passion that I have, wanting to do something that was true to me, where I could evolve and grow and do things that I loved. And I found that helping businesses was something that I loved. And then that's when I launched my business, or started up my business, in November 2014. And I started Enabled.
Okay. And I mean, just, I guess if I think about the space that you play in, it's an area that's really undergone a lot of change over the last few years. There's a lot happening in the BBBE space, as I say. How have you found the let's call it the legislative space versus what's happening in reality on the ground? Are these things moving in tandem, or are they not?
So one of the big drivers in starting my own business was that I found that although the legislative space is a nice, clear cut, this is what needs to be done, we're going to grow entrepreneurship, we're going to grow businesses, it's not what's happening. Because if it was, and we have all of these funds being channeled to businesses and to black businesses, we would have really nice growth in terms of employment and job creation, and growth of businesses themselves. But that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing businesses that are failing. We don't see companies employing or bringing into their procurement enough black suppliers. So there is a gap. And I think it's the gap that implementation partners and agencies that facilitate enterprise development really need to step up and ensure that we channel the funds properly. Because there's funding out there. There's drivers like the IDC, the DTI, that provide grants, and there's loans, and there's bridging finance. So how do these companies reach a stage where they can access these funds and then grow themselves? But I also think it's the knowledge portal that's provided to entrepreneurs. So are you a survivalist business? Are you going to be a survivalist business for the whole stage of your business? Or is there an opportunity to grow your business and actually become a business that's sustainable? And that was the main driver for Enabled, is to create enabled businesses, businesses that are profitable and sustainable through the utilization of enterprise and supply development funds.
And I guess my experience, I've had a bit of experience in this space. And to your point of, you know, what is out there, I think, you know, if it was as easy as waving the legislative wand and it would happen, we would all be really, really happy right now.
Yeah.
Because we've got some really great legislation that fixes a whole lot of, let's call it, economic fundamentals that are key to our country. I mean, we haven't had a chance to interact prior to this, but I would imagine you share our view that it's only through employment that we're going to solve the challenges of South Africa. And the only way to solve the employment challenge fundamentally is through entrepreneurship and new business, because the reality is the corporate world cannot take up any more resourcing, you know, given where they're at. So for me, the key measure of the success of the country is fundamentally how successful is entrepreneurship and business creation in the South African context. And unfortunately, I must say, I sometimes sit there and I think, well, we're losing so much time because we seem to go around and round on the same issues and debate the same things. And I'm going, guys, can we not just have an implementation plan here so that we can actually get it to start moving? And I guess that's where entities like yourselves really play a key role. Now, I mean, there's lots of incubators out there and supply development companies. How do you differentiate Enabled? What differentiates you from guys next door? Because there are lots of guys next door.
Oh, well, that's the first part. There's a lot of guys next door.
Okay. I'll take that. I'll take that one for the team. Yes, I agree with you.
Enabled. The main differentiator is obviously that there's a female stepping up and saying, we are looking at developing businesses. As obviously the founder of Enabled, I'm very much female and passionate about developing and empowering females as well. Mm. And we're looking at developing and empowering females at a grassroots level.
Mm-hmm.
There's incubation, but 90% of that incubation sits in formal sectors and not at your grassroots rural development. So that's our main drivers, is how do we take entrepreneurs that are in the rural areas that are sitting in informal businesses, how do we make them compliant and bring them into formal supply chains? Because all of the support at the moment, 90% of it sits in Gauteng, which is already a business hub. So what happens to areas like Limpopo, KZN, where you have people that have the drive but just don't have that support? And then you have individuals that are passionate about entrepreneurship that enter these spaces and because of the lack of support fail and then become disgruntled yet again. And then we have these youth that feel that the system has failed them.
So how are you going about fixing some of those challenges? I mean, you've identified them and articulated them really clearly here. So I think that's a step forward.
Yeah. So what we've tried. So the main thing was obviously starting the incubator and being very definite in where we wanted to focus. And then the second was then being true to that. So in the pilot that we started on the 1st of November, we've taken on 5 black female entrepreneurs that come from rural or township areas and incubated them.
Okay, that's great. It's great to hear that work is going forward, because one of the things that we've done quite a lot of work with the show, we've done work with, for example, Africa's Got Game, an environment, and what we found and what was visible there was just the amazing passion and capability that is out there. We also work extensively on the show with Tsoga Entrepreneurs, and it is just amazing. I mean, I have the privilege of sitting and I joined them at their awards evening at the end of last year, at the end of, you know, the end of their program where they select out their Entrepreneur of the Year. And it is just amazing to see the energy and the passion in that room. And for them, it doesn't matter who wins. I mean, Mubele was the winner in NK Jewelry. But my goodness, how the rest of the room interacted and supported each other. You know, it's not about winning and losing. It's about, you know, they all play the game. And what I did find quite interesting was Minister of Tourism, Hanekom, was there. And he talked about the role that government plays. And I could see in his commentary the challenges that he faces as a minister of tourism, to in terms of he should be helping develop that sector of the economy, and just some of the practical challenges of getting it to happen. And once again, I get back to the comment of we've got lots of good frameworks and theory base, but the practical implementation of it is always so challenging. And that's why programs like Tsoga Entrepreneurs and incubators and the likes are so key to what we're doing as a country. Now, I mean, in your business, you talked, and as you started up, it was very coincidental, the conversation we've had in the previous show about broadening your product range, because you immediately said you stepped out there and broadened what you did. Just for a moment, and perhaps Mark, if you can come in on this one, what did you see? I mean, if I'm understanding you correctly, your incubator was one of those broadenings that you did. Did you do other things that you broadened out on a product and services perspective? Why did you make those choices? It would be interesting to share with listeners what informed that thinking.
So in terms of enabled and enterprise and supply development, if there's no black businesses to develop through ESD, it almost became automatic that we had to find a channel in how we could do this properly. So the incubation was the next logical step. In terms of that, then became, okay, so if we developed an incubator, we would need training. So do we outsource this training, or do we look at developing training materials ourselves that then becomes another product and service offering that we offer in alignment to that? So yes, we did start enabled enterprise and supply development, and then we moved on to enabled incubator, and then we also got enabled empowerment, where we actually then provide training services that you don't have to take the whole incubation support system or through it to enterprise and supply development. But it's diversification that happens as your business grows, or where you see the gap in it, because you can't always say, you know, I'm not getting the contracts that I want. You have to see, okay, how do you tweak your service or brand offering in order to get and meet the customer needs?
Richard, if I may, so Vaishni, I love the story, and she was obviously listening into our earlier. I heard you chuckling on one of our two of our comments. Vaishni's story is interesting. We may link it back, Richard, for your listeners, is to say that although it was diversification, it was very linked. She saw the original opportunity, said, okay, as part of our value chain, we were not finding enough of these entrepreneurs, therefore we'll go further back the value chain. And it was clearly linked to experience that she and her team had. And so I think that mitigated the risk. Mm. It wasn't like she was going to build hotels for people for conference centers or something.
Yeah.
So I like that a lot, and it ties in. And I did, if I may, I want to ask Vaishni just one question. In the entrepreneurs that you have you got the other end of the value chain? Have you got customers who are needing these businesses? Or do you match them?
So we have a matching system, because ultimately what we want is for these startups to reach a stage where they go into formal supply chains. So there's a matching that happens in terms of how does corporate buy back into them.
So you've got a list of corporates somewhere in a database that say, we need a printer, for example, or we need somebody who's going to supply cleaning services, or whatever it is that your five entrepreneurs do. Because I think that's critical. we can all identify people who've got a skill and need to and develop them, but it would fall flat if they weren't being able to be placed.
So the big thing for entrepreneurs is access to markets. So we can't solely rely on government giving out contracts. And then that also becomes where we need the support of corporates. So although there's legislation that says the corporate needs to bring in black suppliers, you know, even myself find it hard to approach corporates because they also need to be supportive of small businesses and actually bring us in order to give us that access to markets. Because sometimes it's not funding that's needed. We just need to do work.
Yeah.
And we need to show our abilities and we need to show our capabilities. And that access to market is what becomes so vital to us.
Yeah, yeah. And Evashni, do you take a share in those businesses? Are you supporting them along a bigger journey? Or is it a sort of a consultancy to get them involved? How far does your mentorship program go with them?
So it's at the moment it starts off with the consultancy and the incubation program, although that's fairly new. We're hoping that as those businesses grow and we can have like a nice equity stake and grow the empires that way.
You want the equity stake before they grow, Evashni, eh?
Exactly.
Well, we want to see how profitable they are first. At exit, then we have that conversation. But that's obviously, we've just started our journey and that's 2 years into it, yeah.
Yeah. So if I was to say to you, what has been the biggest challenge in your business to date? I mean, just like the businesses that you support, there must be challenges in your world. Let's talk a little about that.
So that access to markets has been my biggest challenge. You know, I think also understanding that businesses don't start the day you register your business. Your business starts 2 years down the line. And to have that passion and drive that keeps you going for those 2 years, I think that's the struggle. And I think that's the struggle that we want to help other businesses with because, you know, I could have faltered 6 months into it, not getting anywhere. But you have to keep going. And you have to keep knocking at doors. You really, really, because corporates don't buy into you that easily. Government doesn't buy into you that easily. And you need to show them that you've actually put some real sweat and blood into the game before they actually start taking you seriously and giving you that access to market. So like the businesses that we work with, we realize that there's a very big learning curve that you have to go through. You have to pay your school fees, as they say, and you have to put your due diligence into there and make it work until you actually get somebody that says, you know what, you're doing great. We're going to buy into you. And once that one person does, that's when you actually see it happening. Yeah.
So, Richard, I think Evashni's statement is 100%. It's about relationships. How do we build relationships with people who want to buy what we want to do? Because they're not going to buy from you the first time you rock up. Here's my wares. This is what you must do. They're also with something as important as supplier development, trusting Evashni's team that she's going to do a good job. Because if I buy her in my business, buy your business, and you let me down, I also get into trouble as a result. So we've become quite conservative with new businesses and giving opportunities, often rather deal with a more formal, longer-term business. I see Evashni nodding, so she's been through all of this. But now and again, you'll find one person who buys into you personally and says, we trust her, let's give her a chance to do this. And once that happens, I think your business changes, transforms, and it'll be about the next five people. Is five an optimal number for you, Evashni? If I had said to you, why aren't you doing 10?
Well, our model wants to take in 15. But, 15, you know, the person that's bought into us for the moment to say, we're going to give you a chance with five.
Yeah, great. Okay.
Yeah, proof of concept. Prove yourself.
Because it's a nice novel idea that you want to develop entrepreneurs in the rural areas. So, you know, it's novel until it's done. So this is what we are.
Yeah, and show us.
And what are the measures of success in that space for you?
So it will be, how do those entrepreneurs then meet their milestones? How is the training working for them? How is their business acumen going? How is the mentorship and going that we're providing, getting them through those vital stages of their business and growing them and meeting their milestones and KPIs?
Okay. Now, I mean, fundamentally, every business goes through those tough times, and I'm sure you've had them.
Well, I'm still in them.
I was going to say, some of us are still in them. But if you were to look back on your life as an entrepreneur and what you've already learnt, what is the, let's call it the one thing that you would maybe single out and say, hey, I wish I'd known that before I'd started out?
I wish I'd known how long it takes before you start making money.
It's a great comment, Richard, because I think, and I'm speaking for myself, not Avashni, or you who runs your own business as well, I completely underestimated that particular issue. I thought because I knew a lot of people, it wouldn't be too difficult to make the transition out of a formal employment situation where I met you first, and, you know, the door would be open and it would be no problem. It's a hard slog to say, and I found the issue was very similar to some of your entrepreneurs. Who's going to now change their current supplier to give me the opportunity to do it? Once I got that and I did a good job, it wasn't a problem. So it's been a growth trajectory.
Once the reputation is established, you're able to move forward a little.
And your existing customers retain you for the next year and the next year. So if Ashni's there, once she gets her five and let's say four of them are successful, they'll definitely come back. But it's to get that, So, I also had that challenge.
And it's not only the reputation. We also forget how long, especially in enterprise and supply development, how different cycles of selling can be. And I think, that's also what entrepreneurs underestimate, is that if you're dealing with corporates and government, they have their own processes that they need to get to.
Yeah.
So they like you. They'll say, okay, great, you're on. But you're on in another 12 months. You're not on as soon as they say that.
Yeah.
I had a question, if I may, Richard. I was involved in a supplier development program last year for a pharmaceutical company. And they had...
Were they developing you?
No, sadly
sorry,
not. Sadly
sorry,
not.
Sorry, Mark, I had to take that over.
Yeah, I don't fit the previously disadvantaged. My business might be, but I don't. But there were 18 in the group, and I met one of them quite recently, and I asked the question, how many of the 18 had been picked up? And they were quite diverse. A recruitment and selection printer, it was a lot of events-type companies, marketing. And I asked how many had been picked up by the pharmaceutical company. And at this stage, they said, so that would be about 4 or 5 months afterwards. None. Out of 18. And in my opinion, some of them were quite good businesses. Others I couldn't comment on. But I thought that was quite, that we create expectations as well, that entrepreneurship is what we're about in South Africa. But it's very hard to get people to open the door just a little bit to get your toe in the door.
Yeah. And you know what? I must just, on that score, just pay tribute to the guys at the Sorgo Sun Entrepreneurs program that Candy Tothill and the team at Sorgo Sun run. Because
are they sponsors of the station?
The one thing that I've noticed with them, and it's consistent in a lot of the people that we've interacted with, is if it's in a services environment that would align itself with Sorgo, they have opportunities in the Sorgo group. Yeah. So the cleaning and services and the likes. And I look at that and I go, well, Sorgo is a corporate citizen in this country, and they can do it, so why can't many of the other corporates? And I think it goes to mindset. If I look at the CEO of Sorgo, Marcel, he's very behind the principle of supplier development and enterprise development. And I think it is, and to all the CEOs out there, it is a mind shift of saying, I recognize that I have to take a little bit of a chance on the fact that I'm going with an enterprise that I've run through. And in fact, I mean, think about it. If you've run them through your enterprise development environment in your own business, well, then if it doesn't work, well, who's to blame? It's actually you, because you should have been very effective in supporting those entrepreneurs. And yes, things do go wrong. But by and large, if you've done your enterprise development correctly and you've given them the support they needed, etc., you should have absolutely no problem taking them up, in your example, as suppliers into your business. And if that doesn't happen, you have to ask yourself the question, did you actually do a proper job of your enterprise development?
So if I may come in there. So the first thing is, okay, so legislation now plays a part, because before it was enterprise development and money was just being channeled to enterprises, but now it's enterprise and supply development. So those funds has to go to suppliers that you have in your supply chain. How long are they in your supply chain? So that is a big shift, and that's where we have to give kudos to legislation in seeing that need. The other thing is what you bring, is what you said also, is that how effective is that enterprise and supply development program? Are you just doing a stock standard, we are meeting our requirements and providing funds so we tick the box? Or are you providing a program that becomes a useful tool to these businesses, something that they need? Are you understanding their needs and utilizing those funds to grow these businesses that makes them sustainable so that they can become part of a lot more supply chains rather than just yours? And that's what needs to be done, is because you have enterprise and supply development programs out there that don't actually meet the needs of the entrepreneurs that they're assisting. You know, they're giving them some stock standard program that just funnels them through a 12-month program that doesn't actually see them growing in the areas that they need to grow in order to actually get big contracts.
And at the end of the day, it fundamentally boils down to execution and delivery on the end goal. And it's not just about ticking the boxes, but it's actually about growing the economy in the right place in the right way. That's fundamental.
And just maybe in addition to Avashni's, as the entrepreneurs grow in the supplier development, so too has the support for them, because it's not a one-day game here. We're not in a cricket, using a cricket analogy. It isn't a one-day game. This is, you know, they could do very well for the first delivery of the first part of the contract, but then need other support because the contract's got bigger, they've got other venues to deal with, whatever. And it's that continual support. And I think that is more than the lip service. And it is nice to hear the story that you mentioned about a CEO supporting it. Not only had he to take a chance on these entrepreneurs, but somebody in their system already was doing this. So it was a bit of a double whammy, because they were moving on.
And if I might just add, in the case of Sorgo Entrepreneurs, that program has been running for a number of years. They started that program long before there was a legislative requirement, long before
it was part of the philosophy.
It's a philosophy in the business. And it does point to the element of, so how do you do this, and what does it take to be successful in this? And they, I mean, I often hold them up as a good example because of what they've managed to achieve. You look at this and you say, you know, don't measure this, as you say, in the, you know, overnight day-night game. This is a long-term game that needs to be played properly. And it needs the support, and it needs the engagement of corporate South Africa and all the parties. It's not just, you know, I think we often think of this as a corporate issue. It is a corporate issue, but it's also a government issue. It's also an entrepreneur issue. All players in the game have to come together to be able to get this to work effectively. So just in closing, a question: how can people get hold of you if they want to talk to you about what you do?
Yes, so they can they can contact us at www.enabled, that's enabled-ed.co.za, or they can email us at incubator@enabled, enabled-ed.co.za, or they can just contact us on 078-246-6038.
Great. Thank you. That was Avashni Naidu of Enable Ed. And next up is our youth leadership platform. CliffCentral.com.